I think that there's a great need for renewable scholarships because a lot of students might get enough money their first year to get through that first year, but then after that, a lot of money tends to dry up.
Really?
So if there was the opportunity to have like a four-year scholarship where if they kept a 3.0 GPA, they could renew it the following year. Those are real gems to be able to do that. So if that was something that...
I'll present that at our next foundation meeting.
So check out on 24 or 25.
And that reminds me to remind all my board members to please try and make a contribution this year, both for the board scholarship and to the school or the foundation. Thank you.
Just to be clear, Gina is doing the annual fund for the school. She's running that. We're trying to stay out of her way, so we're not doing annual fundraising at the foundation level because it's a conflict. So if you do want to make an annual contribution, make it through Gina to her campaign. I think
so. That's the Sussex Academy Capital Annual Fund. Sussex Academy Annual Fund.
Yeah, not Sussex Academy Foundation Annual Fund.
Which one's paying for the light?
I don't know.
The annual fund.
What?
The annual fund.
Oh, is it?
I think if we don't collect enough through the annual fund, the foundation is paying the difference, and then we're going to pay you back, if I remember correctly.
So it's coming out of the Sussex Academy Annual Fund?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any committees have anything they need to bring to the attention of the full board?
Well, under executive, should we... Oh, you want to do that under succession?
Well,
okay.
So I just wanted to bring up to the board and the directors that at our last meeting, Chris Moody, as part of the outreach committee, had made some professional contacts for the school, and that they would be companies that would want to, well, Chris maybe you can speak to a little bit more, that are willing to do projects with our school or our teacher or our students.
Sure. So, you know, some of you know that through what I do, I'm in contact with a lot of the businesses in Sussex County. So there's lots of opportunity to network there and think about how you know, the students here could interact with some of those companies. And you know, one of them always comes to mind is always a loft. I mean, because I've done so many tours there, our students love going there. It's just, I think it would be It used to be Pat's Aircraft, just across the way here. But for some of the students to be able to see the design that goes on, project management, there's lean manufacturing, there's so many different concepts that could be applied in what they're doing now. I think it'd be an opportunity for us to visit them, for them to come here and talk, just to hear some real life situations that are going on. I think they get a lot out of it. So if there's more interest in that, obviously I could help make those connections. I would just need some guidance from some of the teachers and how to connect all these pieces.
What were some of the other ones besides Aloft?
There was a couple on your list.
Yeah, I don't remember the list now, Bob, because it was at our last meeting. To be honest with you, I mean...
I'll find it and forward it to you.
I forget all.
But for
I
those that don't know, Aloft outfits planes, like custom for people like Bo Diddley and...
She meant P. Diddy.
Yeah, I don't think you're doing
Bo Diddley's plane.
20 years ago.
Bo Diddley.
Anyway, really popular, famous people that the kids would love to hear about their private things that are put together radio.
Snoop Dogg.
Bo Diddley.
And they also, I think, install like supplemental.
Hey, we're not going to listen to anything you say.
Moving on. Anybody else?
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to speak for a minute about ad hoc preference committee. Denise is actually the chair of the committee this year, but she's not here, so I have some update to give in her absence. So the preference committee is the group that sifts through the special preference essays and then goes through that whole process. Hopefully, ladies, you guys will serve again.
Yes.
We're hoping to keep the committee as is. We are going to be absent our friend Chris because
Shonda.
Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Shonda, Lauren, Denise, myself, Janet, Alan, and a faculty member.
It's going to be Heather Fuller.
Heather Fuller.
Last year.
She, it was Miss Hugis last year, wasn't it?
Was on the year before last
year?
Yeah.
I think it was Miss Hugis last year.
Yeah,
no, it was
no.
Hey.
Cripps.
Chris.
No, was it Kathy last year?
It's going to be Heather Foley this
year.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine. Chris,
I don't mean that you can't be on again.
Oh, no.
Just more.
Chris, backing out the door. Chris will not be serving this year because he has a child potentially in the mix. So he will be not joining us this year.
Now, if my child is in the lottery but they're a sibling, does that matter?
No.
Okay. You're not in
this
there.
This is already in.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So we are thinking about having our meeting, our first meeting, committee meeting, the week of the 29th. Denise is going to send some dates out.
Great.
Hopefully we will have redacted applications and tally sheets out to everyone next week. So we can meet the following week at some point. And then maybe looking at the weeks of 12-12 or 12-19 for the interviews.
Do you mean
two?
One piece of
good
news.
2-12 or 2-19.
One piece of good news or bad news,
a little bit
however
like that.
One might want to look at it, is going to be high school.
I know. So the committee's...
And how will I deal with that?
The committee's going to have to work with that because we have a special preference process for the high school as well.
Did you before?
We never did because we accepted everyone.
Everybody checked it, just about everybody.
So we have to work on that. The committee, like that first meeting, we'll have
work
to
out
figure that out. Someone asked me today, and I don't know how we've handled it in years past, once we have our dates, someone asked me today, when will I know if my kid is getting an interview? Did we ever put out a deadline last year to say,
No, what we did, we sent anyone that was being interviewed, I'm pretty sure we sent a letter, and we said, here are the dates. We never put out, the only thing we did was we put out a public statement that says we're going to have, by such and such a date, we will probably know something. But we did not contact each and every parent. We did not.
Okay. I just told them roughly our timeline from last year, and it's sort of along. We usually do the interviews around the same time every year. So anyway, Denise will follow up with everyone with emails regarding, you know, getting our heads together with dates and all that.
Do you think we did it wrong? And didn't notify the people who didn't interview, but they left them hanging?
I don't know if we did it wrong. I think we're working our way through what is the appropriate way to do it.
It seems to me we sent a letter to all, if we have 50 applicants that we're going to be reviewing, we send a letter to all and say, we will be in touch with those who we will interview at such and such a date. If you don't hear from us, that's a shame.
Could you do it like we did this? Can you put the confirmation numbers of the ones that are being interviewed?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think publicly we want to draw attention to this.
Okay.
So the answer to the question is, Joe, yes, we can get that letter out to those people.
We're doing a mailing for those 259 people.
That's correct.
So it would be like doing
another paragraph on that.
Just another paragraph. That's correct. And I can't remember, did we send a letter last year to anybody about any of this other stuff?
No.
Okay.
We'll include it.
We'll include it in the letter that goes out to everybody.
Okay.
So I just have a question about the preferences. Is there no mandatory by charter distribution of these preferences between middle school and high school, is there?
But it factors into our whole allowable
the charter,
population.
The charter only allows for
I think I have to look in the original document, but 5%.
Right. Oh, but as the numbers increase, then maybe we could eke another reference out of
138.
Maybe not, but.
Maybe.
138
decided to.
Kids did not get in today who have asked for special interest grade six.
There's two different issues.
A lot of essays of reading, a lot of paper.
So we could have 800 students in school. How many preference? It's a little pleasant.
The specialized preference, I would think, seem 5%.
Of that class.
Any total school. So say of 800, you can have four.
That's the whole school for that?
I'll go look in the charter, but I think.
Yeah, that's what we, yep.
So in any one year, you can have 5% of the total class.
Cannot exceed.
That doesn't make sense.
I sorted.
Cannot exceed.
Maybe preference they ask.
But you're not gonna be able to.
Figure out how many did not get in.
But here's the deal, you can't, that doesn't mean you can have 10%.
You have to stay at 5.
You can't exceed 5% anyway. So that 5%, if you choose 5%, that has to stay within that 5% that you're exceeding your charter number.
Because the people we accepted on preference last year count in that number? Well, then you can do 5% of the whole population, the way you just said.
Every year, but you can't, but it doesn't mean that you can exceed your population by 10%. I don't know if we're saying the same, I don't know if we're saying something different. So it's not a 5% preference, and then on top of that, you can exceed your total population 5%.
Of course not, they have to be in the 808 number. But you can take up to 5% of any one class grade. So if we're gonna take in 120 kids this year, 5% of that 120 can be preference. That's the way I read it, you read it like 5% of the whole student body, we could have 40.
Let me go back and look.
I could, but we.
I'll have to go back and look at the writing.
Yeah, I think we better be clear on this.
I think we would base more on the year of admission as opposed to the student, the whole student body.
And I think we looked into that during our meetings, and it was, and we never went to that level, because obviously we don't want 40 additional kids in sixth grade.
Exactly.
So.
You already have 48 preferences, 48relative preferences this year, if you took another 40.
No, well, we wouldn't do that.
Right, no, generally can't.
We couldn't do that.
We've never done that, we've never taken that many.
We would not be in compliance.
Right. We'll drill it down.
Okay. So, succession planning? That's you.
That's you.
Where do you, can I sit next to you?
Want to sit here?
Sure.
So what do we want Robin to say?
Well, I basically just brought Robin in to introduce her to everyone. So, I mean, we, as a board, we voted to go with Lead Your Way Solutions, and it's becoming every day more apparent that we need to work hard to keep everybody informed and on the same page. So I asked you to come so that people could put a face with a name and ask you any questions they may have about the process.
Well, maybe it would be helpful if I give you a little bit of information about my background, so you know sort of how I got to the point where we are. I've been in some level of HR and recruiting for the better part of 25 years. I started actually as an assistant director of admissions working for Elon College, which I graduated from and did that for 3 years. Went back and got my master's degree, moved to New York and started working for an executive search company where we were recruiting CFOs, CEOs, basically C-suite level individuals. I then moved overseas with my family for the better part of the last 12 or 13 years. While I was overseas, the first time we've been in Greece, Jordan, Uganda, and Jerusalem. When we were in Uganda, the head of school left, decided to turn in the resignation in March. They found out that I had some recruiting background, and so I was asked to participate in the head of school search. For that particular search, we hired an interim head based on the lateness of the person's resignation. And so we brought in an interim head for a year while we had the opportunity to conduct a full search. and found a candidate out of Rome for that particular search. I then came back to the U.S. for 2 years, and then we went to Jerusalem for 3 years. The summer before we got there, head of school left in August. Again, I thought it was following me at that point, but again, they found out I had some recruiting background, so I managed the search. They brought in a sixth grade teacher. They moved up a sixth grade teacher as an interim while we had the opportunity to conduct a full search. That person actually came from an academy in North Carolina over to Jerusalem and is still there as far as I know. I have also just completed the search for Worcester Prep. And I'm also in the process of doing some other type searches as well, so I have that background. So I've always been in recruiting, HR, executive search. I also have exposure to the IB program, which I think has been helpful in talking with candidates. My first exposure was actually as a recruiter for the college. My territory was Florida. They basically said, off you go, we need more kids. And most of the schools, or many of the high schools in Florida, had just implemented the IB mm-hmm. program, so I had exposure then. And then my kids actually attended an IB World School when we were in Uganda. They were part of the primary years program. And in Jerusalem, where, my older one was part of a middle years program. And so I have been very active in the search. We've received several applications. I think everybody should be commended because my job is actually not that hard. It's not a hard sell.
Sister, you haven't seen the hard part yet.
Oh, I know. That's tomorrow, probably.
Pants on for tomorrow morning.
Big girl pants. You know, I think that I've talked with some fabulous people. There's a lot of interest. The school is well known and people are eager to be a part of a great opportunity. And so hopefully, you know, you'll be impressed with some of the candidates that have come forward.
Yeah, so the search committee, the full search committee is meeting tomorrow morning. Myself, Susie, Joe, Denise, who will not be there, Steve. And then faculty members Cameron Smith and Maureen McLaughlin, and parent Lisa Kwan. So that's our.
And Janet.
Janet and Alan. Oh my God, sorry. Yeah. So that's our full committee. And
So you bring the names or the potential people to the committee? And then the committee makes the decision?
Right, so let me give you a little bit of I should have done that, my apologies, to give you a little idea of the process. So what I've been doing is receiving applications, reviewing applications, conducting phone interviews with prospective candidates. For those that I feel will be of interest to the committee, I, in some cases, if time is permitted based on application time, I have tried to do a Skype interview or based on location an in-person interview so that when we meet tomorrow, I'll be able to provide as much information about the candidates as possible. I have the impression that more was better in this particular situation. I'm sensitive to everyone's time and commitment to the process. At which point I will present what I have determined as the top tier candidates based on those conversations. It was very clear through, obviously some of the resumes just were not of, you know, a caliber that you would be looking for. In some conversations, you can determine that that's not going to be quite the right fit. So I will present a certain, she's circling.
I'm sorry, my son.
I was getting worried. I will be presenting a group of candidates for the committee to review, at which point we will have a discussion as to how the committee would like to proceed with that group of candidates, whether it's all of them, some of them, part of them, and what that looks like in terms of moving forward, and then move the process along. Ultimately, we want to get to the point where we have a certain number, whether it's two, whether it's three, candidates come and visit the campus and meet with all of the constituents in terms of administration, students, parents, faculty, tour the school, see the facilities, meet with Dr. Oliphant. So to get a full picture of what the current situation is.
Do we have them at that constituent? Does that include board too? What do you recommend?
It can, yes.
So, yeah, what do you?
That would be up to the group.
And what's the typical time frame
from
now to final completion or offer, typically?
It depends on how quickly the committee wants to move in terms of either doing an initial interview with potential candidates as a committee and then bringing them here and meeting with the larger group, or, you know, whether we want to do that all as a, all at one process. And a lot of that will have to do with how the committee feels about the candidates that are being presented, and if there's confidence there to move forward in the process.
How many are in the pool right now?
In terms of being presented tomorrow?
Yeah.
Still debating, but probably between 6 and 7.
Wow.
Which is
so
fantastic.
I asked Robin to sort of forgo her normal process a little bit and to, did you already say this? To Skype interview with some people already. More than she would have normally.
Normally what I do is do the phone interviews, bring those candidates to the committee, you know, and it could be, you know, more or less, whatever, and have the committee say, yes, we like these, go forward on Skype. But in this particular case, based, I'm sensitive to people's time and the capability to get everybody together and it being the first meeting, I've gone ahead and sort of jumped ahead with a couple of the candidates that I feel like are strong enough to do that.
Robin,
yes.
Tell me how you solicited those. The applications that you got, where do you advertise? Are most of them private school people or public school people or whatever?
So we have the, first of all, the vacancy announcement was sent out to all faculty and staff and parents and asked for them to please forward it to their network because word of mouth is our biggest resource. We have it on the website. We also advertise it on a website called the Blue Sheet, which goes out to primarily heads of schools, directors, senior level administration. People can get on that list. It's very well known amongst the community of you know, high level administrators. So several have come from that way. We also have it on the National Association of Independent Schools website. And we also have it on Join Delaware Schools website. And we have received, I've been in touch with Delaware Charter Network.
Kendall's pushing
Massett,
it out.
And she's pushed it out. I've also been in touch with Jackie Wilson at Dazzle, who has also pushed it out. So we've received applications actually from a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. There's been some from Sussex County, there's been some from surrounding counties, from out of state, from public schools, private schools, charter schools, a little bit of everything. It's very impressive.
Any more questions for Robin?
And obviously we'll make a report at the next board meeting in a month of whatever meetings our committee has in the interim.
And on behalf of the teachers, I just want to say thank you for including teachers on that search committee. Our school, from the very beginning that I remember, teachers have always been an integral part. I've been asked many times to help interview teachers. As a teacher myself, and so being included in this kind of staffing decision too is very valued and appreciated.
I also mentioned that I did attend, Dr. Lafont invited me to attend one of the faculty meetings, which I attended right after the snowstorm. And so I was able to provide that a lot of this information to the faculty and staff as well, so that they understood my background and, you know, that I have some experience doing this, but then also what the process is and where we'll need their involvement.
And I think I felt that was very appreciated and well received.
Yeah. And just to follow up a little bit, Debbie, after I met with the teachers and I had said that one of my things I needed to work out before we decided whether to put teachers on the committee is how compensation was going to be handled and whether that would be a committee issue or not. And I followed up with Robin and that was, we did manage to address that in a way that I think is appropriate.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
You can say that. Well, I don't know, can she?
You can stay right
you
there.
Can
yeah.
You can go, whatever.
Stay right there.
You can sit right here. whatever.
But we may give you,
we may give you more work.
You
know,
if you sit there.
We're very communal.
Oh, and Lauren, you had a, if we're done with succession planning right now?
Are you talking about that conference that's coming up? Or
yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we were done with this topic though before I jumped there.
Yeah.
Lauren had emailed me about a conference and I didn't understand it well enough to explain it to anyone, so I asked Lauren to explain
it.
Is it the TED Talks?
It's TED Talks. So if anyone knows what TED Talks are, what they have, you know, it's a big program that they have on. We've watched them, their videos, they're no longer than 18 minutes. They have people who are, you know, supposed to be very inspiring, experts in every single possible walk of life and field, and people just talk about their life experience, but it's, they're always, you know, they, people get a lot out of them. They have millions and millions of hits and views. But they have live conferences, and there is a TED Wilmington that holds, and their topic this year is education. And I just got an invite from one of the outreach contacts that I've made, and he had sent me an invitation to go to it. And again, it's like completely vague. It just says like, education, we're gonna have teachers, parents, educators, politicians, like, and they have a list of like 15 speakers, but I'm not gonna go over what every speaker's topic is gonna be. I can forward you all an email that has the invitation, it has the description of each person and their topic. But that's gonna be February 9th, which I think is a Friday, in Hotel DuPont.
So anyone can go? And Kendall Massett is one of the presenters.
And Kendall Massett was she's one of the presenters. Oh, I know who she is.
And so, I didn't know if it would be something that maybe teachers or administrators would be interested in.
I mean, it's all about like innovations and what needs to change in education. It's, you know, all different topics, a variety of topics. I'm gonna try to go.
Most TED Talks are right on the bleeding edge of that, whatever that subject matter is. It's people who are pushing it forward.
Yeah.
So it would be, that'd be
great. Right, usually it's people who are chosen because they're innovators and, you know, but I mean, it's not just anyone volunteers to sign up for it. It's, you have to kind of make a case for why you should be included, and so it looked pretty interesting. So I will forward that to everyone.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
All right, any other committee information reports? Yeah. Any old business? New business? Public comments from our one public? Not really.
No.
Yes, we do have executive sessions, so unfortunately, because it's hard to, I'm trying to get to 2 hours, though, and we're there, and we haven't done executive session yet.
You have to leave.
So I'm going to have to get you.
Yeah, you were out.
And by the way, Robin was on a board for high school as well. Weren't you on a board? Weren't you a board member for an Ivy school?
I was the ambassador for the high school.
I don't know what the issue is.
Did you get the coffee situated?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
You got 5, 6, 3, 4, 9.
9, Rob.
10. Okay. I will get to the 9 o'clock meeting as soon as I can, but I've got a rescheduled meeting about the front gate, rescheduled twice because of the weather. So
okay,
and that's at 8.
No, somewhere here.
The main office. Yeah.
Thank
I'll make the motion that we go to executive session now.
A second.
Yeah. We're going to go into executive session to discuss under section 10.004 strategy sessions under B4 and personnel matters under B9. It's $29 code 10,004.
And we're still here.
I'm taking
notes. At 5:29?
At 5:29 p.m.
I'm leaving.
She's at
home
then.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Any opposed? No. Morning. I made the motion.
Who second?
Lance.
Go back.
6:50. Oh, 5:50.
To adjourn the meeting. We got to vote.
Did we vote, come out of executive session?
We did, yeah. And
we're now we vote to adjourn.
Yeah.
Okay. So at 5:51 p.m., I make a motion to adjourn the executive board meeting of January 17th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion around that,
please? Yes.
Any opposed?
No.
All motion passes.
We'll answer for those guys.